Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. This is Christmas week, but all I have on my mind is football. I can't get enough of it. Joe, I'm losing my mind. It's just football, football, football. I had a great day yesterday. I can't tell you what a great mood I'm in right now. Well, actually, I could. I'm in a great mood right now. I needed what Jack Del Rio called a mini bye week. You know, you play on Thursday, so it's a really crappy end of the week because Thursday and Friday are the same day, and it's just one day. I guess you'd call it Thursday. So if you take the last part of Friday and the first part of Thursday, you get Thursday, except it's both days. It's Thir Friday. Because you just kind of stay through the night. I mean, the game ends late, and you write, and then you come back to work and write some more. But anyhow, so I was really in the mood for a nice, restful weekend. Got up Saturday morning, very calmly went out into the garage and defrosted the freezer, which someone had left the door open, and the entire inside turned to a freaking block of ice. But calmly, I defrosted the freezer. I'm serious. The entire inside was a block of ice.
You're not saying who did it.
I had to take a hose to it. It wouldn't defrost. I literally had to take a hose and hold it on. Okay. But I remained calm. Wife and I went out for a romantic dinner. I think we had barbecue Saturday night.
Nothing says romance.
Nothing
like
says
barbecue.
Romance like some pulled pork. Sunday, slept in a little bit, a nice cup of Java in the morning. Took a bicycle ride. I'm feeling human now, you know, feeling like a normal person. I sit down on the couch, and this is what God gave me Sunday afternoon. Atlanta at the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins at the Tennessee Titans, and, of course, each of those games was decided on the final play of the game, right? Atlanta threw a touchdown on the final play of the game, and, of course, the Titans kicked the game winner in overtime. And now I'm delighted. I've flipped between the two, back and forth, back and forth. And, of course, what am I given for dessert? Green Bay at Pittsburgh. Green Bay at Pittsburgh. And it's not my kind of football. I mean, I like defense. But what the heck? Those days are gone. So I have to take what I get. And that means a lot of offense. And I sat and I watched that game, the most unbelievable game I have ever seen. I have never, ladies and gentlemen, seen a quarterback throw a touchdown pass on his first play of the game and on the last play of the game, the game's last play, to the same guy. A bomb to Mike Wallace on the first play of the game and a 19-yard touchdown pass on the final play of the game. He throws for 503 yards, and if he had thrown for 502, they lose the game. Just sensational football yesterday afternoon, and this whole weekend, beginning with Thursday night, the Jaguars and Colts just put on a fabulous show, just a fabulous show. Great football from Thursday through Sunday night, and I'm sure we're going to see some more of it tonight. And I just love late-season cold-weather football. I love cold-weather football when all of a sudden extra points become tough to kick. Chip-shot field goals are not in the bank. You can't count on anything. And the best players rise to the top, and guys make great plays. And I just love it. And here's the best part for us in Jacksonville. For the third consecutive week, we are going to see one of those super high-profile must-win games. You know, we had Jaguars and Dolphins 2 weeks ago, and then we had Jaguars and Colts, and we're going to get another one this week. Jaguars at the Patriots. And let's not forget that Tom Brady has been the great Jaguars killer. He's the guy who knocked his team out of the playoffs in 05. He's the guy who kept his team out of the playoffs right here at Jacksonville Municipal Stadium in 06, the day before Christmas, Christmas Eve, obviously, 2006. He's the guy who went 26 of 28 in 2007 and knocked the Jaguars out of the playoffs. And we're going to do it again. One more time, at least one more time, the Jaguars are going to try to beat Tom Brady late in the season in a playoff or playoff-like game. And I'm sure you have thoughts on all of this. So why don't we get a caller in before we, you know, get to the quarter poll of this show this evening. And he is our regular. He's Trevor of Montreal. I don't know why Trevor, you know, has why he doesn't have other things to do, but on Monday, you can count on Trevor.
He's depressed because he lost Roy Halladay.
What's up, Trevor?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Well, I'm far away. I don't get to go to the game, so this is how I take part in the Jaguar season, you know?
Are you from Jacksonville originally?
No, I'm from Montreal. I lived in Ponte Vedra for about 9 months, and that's how I got into it.
Okay.
But I've only been to two games in my life, so we tried to go down this year. Just flights to Jacksonville are not cheap, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I got to settle for watching the Canadians. But anyway, what I wanted to say was, it's kind of about one of your comments before, and it hit me during the game on Thursday about how quarterbacks earn their dollar in the fourth quarter.
There's no question. I have always been, and everybody knows this, a big crunch time guy. And yes, I will address that as far as it pertains to David Garrard, because I've done some homework on him. I really don't like, and I've said this now for more than a few weeks, I really don't like his fourth quarter passer rating. It's now slumped to 67.9. That's a problem. It's not quite as bad as you think, because he's got three rallies in there. He's got three comebacks, St. Louis, the Jets, and the Bills, where he did it at crunch time, got it done. But nonetheless, 67.9 is not what you want at crunch time. It's not what you want in the fourth quarter. And that's the thing. That's the quarter that's holding him back. His passer rating would be much, much better. His overall passer rating would be much, much better. And our perception of him would be much better. The fan perception of him would be much better if he was better in the fourth quarter. But I'll let you go ahead, and then I'll get back to that.
Okay, well, the other thing was, I just want to tell the fans of Jacksonville, like, we're still completely in the hunt for the playoffs. Like, I know it seems like every week it's a must-win, but the way the cards are falling, we are still completely in it. And I just hope they do something about Reggie Nelson, because, ouch.
Yeah, that's going to get fixed. It's hey, we're talking about free safety here. We're not talking about quarterback. We're not talking about left tackle. We're not talking about right defensive end or cornerback. We're talking about free safety. You don't get held up. You don't fret over guards and free safeties. So don't worry about this, folks. It's one way or another, it's going to get fixed. And at this point in time, I mean, we got a body of work on Reggie Nelson that is putting shining a very, very dim light on his career. I think it's becoming apparent that this team is going to move in another direction during the offseason. I can't imagine them bringing – when he tried to punch that ball out on Thursday night, you know, blah, 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 that's the end of the line. You know, the springs were going off in my head. I can't take any more. Yes, you are absolutely right, Trevor. This team is absolutely alive. In fact, it is in the driver's seat, in my opinion, along with Baltimore, for a wild card berth. I firmly believe that if the Jaguars win their final two games, and that is a tall order, but I firmly believe that if they win their final two games, they will get a wild card berth. The problem is they're going to New England at like the worst time to play the Patriots. The Patriots are going to have, the motivation is going to be through the roof. They will clinch not only a playoff berth, they will clinch the division title with a win. They could even move to number 3 in the seeding with a win. I mean, they got everything going on here except the return of Paul Revere. This, you know, the cards are so stacked in their favor that it's almost too much. You know, I mean, I've seen those things before where it looks like it's a mail it in, and when it looks like it's when it looks like it's a mail it in, that's when you don't mail it in. So hang on there, hang on. I mean, this the Patriots are scoring some very underwhelming victories against some very average opposition, a very average opponent, such as the Buffalo Bills. And who was it the week before? It was a rather ordinary team that they defeated, too. So, you know, hang in there. I wouldn't put an L next to this one yet, but I will say this. The guy they're facing is Tom Brady, and that's the one guy. I mean the one guy, and I'm talking about Manning, Roethlisberger. You can throw them all into one bunch. The one guy I don't want to see late in the season with something on the line is Tom Brady. Let's go to a break. First one of the evening.
First one. One if by land, two if by sea.
That's right.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Just stop by Gate today. Want to talk to Vic? That's real easy, too. 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Outside the area, same number. Just throw a 1-800 in front of it, and you've got Victor. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Jaguars fans, here's your chance to get free Jaguars merchandise. Just make jaguarsearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars, and they can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. JaguarSearch.com. Also easy to get a hold of Vic Ketchman here on Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Victor.
I want to talk a little bit about this fourth quarter passer rating of David Garrard that I had mentioned in the previous segment. David is sitting at 67.9 in fourth quarter passer rating right now. And that's down near the, not the very bottom, but it's toward the bottom of the, it ranks number 30 out of 43 ranked quarterbacks in the NFL. Jamarcus Russell was right beneath him at 64.3, Jay Cutler 63.5, Chris Redman, and Fitzpatrick, Hasselbeck, DeLome. So, I mean, those are not the kind of names with whom you want to keep company when it comes to fourth quarter passer rating. The top guys in fourth quarter passer rating are Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Brett Favre, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers. All of those are, and Tony Romo of Dallas, all of those are 104 or above. So, I mean, those are the people you want to be closer to them than the Jamarcus Russells. And the thing with David is he has a very respectable overall passer rating of 85.1. It's in the middle of the pack of the league of quarterbacks. But 85.1 is very respectable. 13 touchdown passes, 7 interceptions. He's got some favorable stats. But the one that's holding him back is that fourth quarter passer rating. I don't think it's indicative completely of the way he's played in the fourth quarter because he's got three comebacks. He's got three crunch time drives, crunch time game winning drives. In the case of St. Louis, he's got one at the end of regulation and one in overtime. So he's got three games in the win column that are the result of strong performance at crunch time. But his overall fourth quarter passer rating is not the kind of thing that a professional quarterback wants to put on his resume. That's what needs to improve. If that was higher, if that was up around 80, 85, 90, his overall rating, passer rating, would be in the 90s. And the perception of the job he's done this year would be leaps and bounds better. Right now, people are forgetting about what he did against St. Louis and what he did against the Jets and what he did against the Buffalo Bills. And they're remembering what he didn't do with the game on the line against the Dolphins and what he didn't do with the game on the line against the Colts in the, you know, there in the at crunch time in the fourth quarter. And those are the games that people are going to remember into the offseason. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's very, very, a very talented physical specimen. I think he's a guy who would, I counted this up today. I see 15 teams in the league that would be immediately improved if they had him as their quarterback. But quarterbacks live on that fourth quarter passer rating. They live on what they do at crunch time, and that's why the perception of David is much beneath what it is for other quarterbacks. I'm not going to use Peyton Manning because that's the gold standard. But Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, you saw that yesterday. It was unbelievable. I mean, that kind of crunch time performance is the thing of which legends are made. I'll stop my little tutorial and turn back to the callers, and we'll go to Tim in St. Augustine, who wants to talk about the draft. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, how you doing this evening?
Good.
Hey, happy holidays, first of all.
Same to you, Tim.
Thank you. Hey, my question is, I obviously, all the talk that I'm hearing about everywhere is Tebow, Tebow, Tebow for the Jaguars. It's going to save the team. It's going to save the city, yada, yada, yada. Not that I wouldn't want a person of his caliber on the squad, but as we all know, the safety position, we need a lot of help. Would there be any chance for us to grab this kid, Barry, out of Tennessee? Do you think they would make a move for him?
He's a top five pick. Jaguars won't be anywhere near that high, and I don't think they want to get back up there, no. And I don't like taking safeties in the top five picks. I'm sorry.
You don't think he's a game changer?
No. It's not that. I don't like taking safeties that high because I think you can find safeties in much more bargain-like positions. I think you need to take premium position players I think you need to take premium. You okay? You still there?
Yeah.
All right. I think you need to take premium position players in the top five, maybe even the top 10, quarterbacks, left tackles, pass rushers, cornerbacks. You know, let me give you an example. Now, more so than ever, cornerback is primo, primo, premium. I watched yesterday Darrell Revis.
Yeah, superstar.
I mean, just maybe the best cover corner I have ever seen, He is... He mirrors receivers like no coverage guy I have ever seen. It's almost as though he knows what they're going to do.
He can make up space like a Deion Sanders, but he can actually tackle too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He put a lick on Jarius Norwood yesterday. I thought he was going to knock his lip off. But did you ever see that Groucho Marx, Harpo Marx scene where they come out from behind a wall and they're acting like it's a mirror and they're mirroring each other. That's Darrell Revis with receivers. He can do exactly what they do.
I guess my only argument on the point you're making when you do these top echelon positions, when I'm looking back at these overpaid first-round quarterbacks, I'm not drafting a quarterback like that. The guys, they don't produce in the first couple years unless it's a fluke. Mm-hmm. They're overpaid. Jamarcus Russell, we've seen them all come in and out.
If you draft a quarterback,
Ryan's done good. I just don't think they're better off sitting on the bench and learning the system. Like Leinart might turn into something eventually, but I don't want to pay a guy to do that.
No,
I don't think it's money well spent.
I think Sanchez was money well spent. I think he'll be fine. Obviously, Matt Ryan is going to be fine, but you see, his sophomore year isn't the equal of his freshman year. Why? I don't know. But there is a learning curve, even for a really ultra-smart guy like Matt Ryan. With quarterbacks, you have to be patient, and with quarterbacks, you have to have them. You're going to have to bite the bullet. The Jaguars are fortunate. We're fortunate. They have a quarterback.
But wouldn't you think with the quarterbacks that have come out, like Ben Roethlisberger and some others, I mean, you can still get quarterbacks later on and produce. Some time, for instance, right now, you got Garrard, who's an average quarterback, and someone who, I don't know, I mean, do we have the right people, the Jaguars, that are able to cultivate talent at quarterback?
All right, we have the right people here, for sure, to identify and draft in the right position a quarterback. There's no doubt in my mind, so don't worry about that. This team is going to draft a quarterback. It hasn't drafted one since 2003. And it's going to do it soon, and it's going to be a young guy. It's going to be developed, and they have the people to develop it. But let me tell you this. The Jaguars are very fortunate because they have a good quarterback. They don't have a great quarterback. And that's what everybody wants, is a great quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but he's a good quarterback, and he will bridge the gap very nicely. Break time?
Break time. All right. Fans Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants all across the Jacksonville area. You can save on things like Jags gear, to money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants, and a lot more. Just visit jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Jaguars Monday continues right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by North Florida's labor unions. A job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. Right, Victor?
Gotcha,
baby. All right. 355-NFL1 is the number, or 1-800-355-NFL1.
The union way. Remember that?
You sing it.
Remember that song?
Yes, I do.
All right, back with Jaguars Monday, and let's talk to Kelly in Arlington, who wants to talk about Reggie Nelson, and then let's make this the last Reggie Nelson comment, because I think I think that ship has sailed. Kelly, what would you like to say?
Oh, has it? I missed all the scuttlebutt then. No, I just was curious about your take on Reggie Nelson's blocking in the secondary.
You mean tackling?
Well, I don't know that I'd call that a tackle.
Okay.
Would you?
Bill Cowher called it a block tackle. That's what that's called.
Is that what that's called?
That's
okay.
It's called a block tackle, meaning you don't use your arms to grab the guy. You just kind of,
use your shoulder.
Yeah, as though you're blocking him. And, boy, Bill Cowher yesterday on the studio show, Joe, is that Fox or whatever network he's with, the studio show he does, he just blistered Reggie Nelson. I mean.
Did he?
Oh, he called that tackle attempt on Dallas Clark Thursday night, quote, pathetic. And how could you disagree with it? And then this is going on and on. I mean, let's go back to last season. Let's go back to Justin Gage running down the sideline after he caught a pass. And the last 15 yards into the end zone, Reggie Nelson is playing patty cake with him. So the one thing we knew going into this year is that he knew his tackling had to improve. And then we had that unbelievable meltdown in Tennessee. And the bottom line is the tackling is not improving and it's not going to improve. It was the knock on him when he was coming out of Florida, when he was in the draft. The knock on him was that he was not a physical guy, that he was not a tackler, that he might have to play corner. Well, you know what? Even corners have to tackle unless you're Deion Sanders. And it's just not his game. And I don't know how you play football and not be able to tackle. He's a little bit of an ambush hitter, meaning if he can get you from behind or the side, he'll take a whack at you. But if he's got to wrap you up or he's got to take you on, it ain't going to happen. So it's becoming obvious the Jaguars have to move on there, because I don't think any of us. I know I can't take any more. I cannot take any more. Did I represent?
I can't take anymore.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I represented your interests on this, because I'm at the end.
Oh, absolutely.
And Gerald Alexander has played very well, and I think Sean Considine has played a lot better than people are giving him credit for having played. And Anthony Johnson has been a wonderful find for the Jaguars since midseason. Hey, what are we waiting on here? Jack Del Rio kind of said it in his Friday press conference. He said, you can't stay in the lineup and play like that. And I think that's an exact quote. And then when it was asked, well, who are the candidates to take his place, he very quickly volunteered the name Anthony Smith. So you might want to look for that on Sunday. I'm going to be looking for that on Sunday.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Happy holidays. You too, Kelly. Thanks for calling. Why don't we talk to Jim in Orange Park? Good evening, Jim.
Hey, how we doing?
Great.
Good. I was just listening. I was listening to your program, and I overheard you a few moments ago associated with the Jaguars' trip up to New England this weekend.
Yeah.
You remember years ago at TPC, Greg Norman won the TPC with, I think it was 21 or 22 strokes under par.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard an individual on the radio saying that people like that cannot play up to that potential every week. I think that Jacksonville going into New England, if they'll come out on that field, if they'll come through that tunnel, if they'll possess the dedication, the drive, and determination to come out of there as a winner, they've got a chance of coming out of there as a winner. But they can't drop that for one second. for 1 nanosecond. They've got to maintain it from the beginning until the very end. And when they hit, they've got to hit hard. They can't bounce off. You got to hold on. And they've got to understand and realize that this is it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I'm not big on pep talks and that kind of stuff. My thing, Jim, is the players have to do their job. Their job is to block. Their job is to tackle. And I don't care what their motivation is, and I don't care what their intensity is. Just do it. And that's my expectation on Sunday, is that when you have a free safety whose job is to provide support over the top, then provide support over the top. If it's your job to tackle the man after he catches the ball, then tackle the man after he catches the ball. I don't care about motivation, his motivation. I don't care about his psyche or his spirit or any of that crap. Just do your job. Frankly, I think the offense on last Thursday night did its job. When you score 31 points, you should have an expectation to win the game. The defense did not do its job. A man was paid $17 million to rush the passer. I don't even know that he touched the quarterback. You know, so that's my thing. I mean, all this, what you said, it's great, except it's hogwash, Jim, because it only lasts as long until you get knocked on your wallet. The moment you get knocked on your wallet, all that inspirational crap is done. When you're in a 12-play drive and you're breathing hard, and you're trying to get a breath to go to the next play, you're not thinking pep talk. You're thinking about whatever it's going to take to reach down inside and do this one more play. And that's what the Jaguars are facing. For the third consecutive week, they're going to be in one of those kinds of games. Now, we're going to find out if they got the stuff to get it done.
If they've got the metal to do it.
I don't know if it's metal, Jim. I mean, look, at some point, you got to have the horses. At some point, you've got to have a cornerback that can match up with Randy Moss. At some point, you have to have a pass rusher who can sack Tom Brady. And I got a feeling that no matter how many pep talks you give to Derek Harvey, it ain't going to happen. So let's make sure we keep our expectations in check. We went into this year knowing that there were some voids. And we're going to come out of this year knowing there are fewer voids than when the Jaguars went into the season. But I think we also have to know that there's more work that has to be done. The Jaguars have ridden a very, very soft schedule to get to this point, as opposed to the Steelers, who have beaten Minnesota, Green Bay, San Diego, and Denver, and basically have very little shot to make the playoffs. So let's not lose perspective. You know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah. And on the offensive side of the ball, as you said, if your job is to do this, if your job is to do that, on the offensive side of the ball, if your job is to provide protection for David Girard, you provide protection David Girard.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm getting tired of this. You know, he has to get the ball out of his hand. Hey, the offensive linemen have to give him time to throw. It's time that everybody just does their job. The expectation for the offensive line is to provide him time to throw. The expectation for David Girard is to throw the ball where it's supposed to be thrown and to put it there in a accurate fashion. Everybody do their job. I don't want to hear about somebody having to do somebody else's job, which is what they want David Girard to do. The defense was a sieve last Thursday. Now, David Girard is supposed to score 41 points because the defense can't hold the other team to less than that. What was his final score? 35-31. So the offense has to score 36? I don't think so. 31 should have been good enough.
Well, did you see the amount of time that the quarterback had with Philadelphia Pittsburgh last night? The amount of time he had to throw that ball?
Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, Roethlisberger ran all over the field trying to get rid of that ball.
Yeah,
protection up the gazoo.
You're talking about a different kind of a guy, Jim. He's known for extending plays, and he was sacked a hideous amount of times last year. That's a completely different animal. But if you looked at quarterbacks in general, look at Tom Brady against Buffalo. I mean, he had on a touchdown throw to Randy Moss, he had all day to throw the ball. The quarterback deserves time to throw the ball, and David Garrard is not getting enough time. Let's go to a break.
All right, Victor. Fans, Winn-Dixie's got everything you need for holiday entertaining. Check out their fully cooked turkey and ham dinners. Winn-Dixie, fresh checked every day. Victor will be back. He's fresh checked every day as well, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKB. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday. Final segment here. Your chance to talk to Vic, 355-NFL1. This portion of Jaguars Monday brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. Johnstown Center, Victor.
How would you like to be a Packers fan?
That's got to hurt.
Oh! They just showed top 10 finishes, and of course that was number one from yesterday. No. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a Packers fan today? You are furious.
You said something funny. If Roethlisberger, he threw for 503 yards. If he throws for 502, he loses.
the fifth most yards in the modern era or something like that. And to me, the crazy thing is he throws for a touchdown on the first play of the game and the last play of the game to the same guy. And I'll bet you that has never happened in the history of professional football.
You know what else they said had never happened? A game ended 37-36.
Come on.
That's what they said. That was the first time in NFL history a game ended 37-36.
Wasn't that the case last year? They won a game 11-10.
And I forget. Yes. And yes. I don't know what the score was.
San Diego. 11-10. And they said a game, it had never been a game that ended 11-10.
Yeah, they did it again.
Bizarre stuff. This has just been a fantastic weekend for professional football. The NFL just puts out a great product, and it started Thursday when the Jaguars and the Colts put out an absolutely fantastic product, and that game got national acclaim. I mean, I talked to national media guys, and they were enchanted with it. They loved it. There's a lot of arrows pointing up for this football team right now. Despite having lost two consecutive high profile games, it's going to have another chance on Sunday, and I know it's a long shot. This is a very, very stern challenge, but the more high profile games you play, the better. It gets you out there as a team of relevance. All of a sudden, the Jaguars are relevant again. And that's the really, really good news, because when you're relevant, you make friends. You make fans. And this team needs fans. Let's talk to who we got, Joe?
Line four.
Okay. Three. Let's talk to Greg on the west side. He wants to talk about quarterback needs. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Outstanding.
Well, this may be the last time I talk to you for the season, so let me at this point thank you for all the commentary and your ass, Vic, and on the radio and everything, and your never-ending, unflinching ethical look at the team and honesty, which is, I think, I admire the most.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You tell the truth, whether it's ugly or otherwise. So I have three questions. I'd like you to answer them to me off the air. I'm going to take the answers off the air. First question is this. Given the fact that we've come in and paid Derek Harvey and paid Quentin Groves and all these really high-picked defensive players to manufacture a pass rush that has not happened, who do you foresee coming up in the draft that can maybe fill that void? Something that we can maybe get back in this defense to actually be considered a dominant defense again, a physical defense, which I think we've lost. Second question, offense. Who do we get for quarterback that's not like that can help us build for the future? Is there a good prospect?
Mm-hmm.
Third question, what do we do about the CBA and the fact there is no, for this next coming up year or two, in the foreseeable future, if they abolish the CBA and there is no actual limit to what you can sign, how do we get somebody and not end up wasting ridiculous amounts of money like we did on Harvey? And for no production, I mean, that seems like this is a lesson that Jags have to start learning, is you can't pick these first-round people and pay them obscene amounts of money until they actually come out and perform. I like your thoughts on that. I'll take all my answers off the air. You have a great Christmas.
Okay, you too. Let me start with the last one before it's out of my mind, because it's a little convoluted, Greg. I don't see where a new CBA pertains to what you're saying. What pertains to what you're saying is evaluation. You've got to make the right evaluation. If you are stuck with an eighth pick of the draft, and let's hope this team won't be in that position for a while, but when you are stuck with an eighth pick of the draft, it is of absolutely paramount importance that you pick the right guy. You have got to pick somebody who is not a risk. Derek Harvey was a little bit of a tweener. That was the rap on him. He was a little small for defensive line and lacked mobility for a linebacker. They were talking about him as a 3-4 outside linebacker for a 3-4 team and a down end for a 4-3 team, but they weren't sure if he was you know, the perfect fit for either. Well, as it turned out, the good news is that he is a hard worker. He is somebody who's worthy of a starting position. You can play him, and he's not going to get his butt kicked. He's going to hold the point. He's going to play for you. He's going to be respectable. He looks like a left defensive end, a guy who can play some run and maybe give you a pass rush here or there. Problem is, you paid him to be a premier right defensive end, a blindside pass rusher, and he does not appear to be that kind of guy. In fact, when the Jaguars put him in that position against Jake Long 2 weeks ago, they had to move him. They had to get him out of there because Jake Long was killing him. Don't worry about the CBA. That's going to be a thing for after the 2010 season, and I don't know where it's going. Just remember that when you're picking anywhere in the first round, especially if you're picking high, the pressure is on Gene Smith. The pressure is on that personnel department to make sure they're not picking a stiff. Now, you asked about, your first question was about a quarterback. You know, what about the future? Identifying a guy in the future. This is a good, this upcoming class of quarterbacks, next year's draft class, is a really good-looking crop, and I think it's going to be good the year after that, too. I see a lot of strong-arm kids. I see Jake Locker, who's not going to declare for this upcoming year, but 2 years down the road, and a Ryan Mallett, and I see Jimmy Clausen, and there's a lot of good ones, a lot of good-looking quarterbacks, and I see some guys kind of down-the-line guys, too, who have good arms and were underachievers in college, and maybe that can be fixed and they can become good pro quarterbacks. I fully expect the Jaguars will draft a quarterback not because they'll reach for one, but because one will fit himself to wherever they are in this year's draft, first, second, third, fourth round, whatever round, because there's a lot of them. Last year, there just weren't a lot of them. You know, late in the draft, when teams like to pick quarterbacks in round 6 and 7, you know, take flyers on quarterbacks, I don't think one was taken in the whole seventh round. They just weren't there. It was just a really bad crop of quarterbacks. That's not going to be the case next spring's draft. There's going to be a lot of them. And I mean, have no doubt they'll find a guy and they'll start the development process. And as I said earlier, the Jaguars are fortunate because they have a good quarterback who will bridge that gap very nicely. I think your last question was about what, Joe, because I can't remember.
Filling the void with Harvey and Groves.
No, that was the third one. I'm sorry.
The CBA was the third one. That was the middle question.
No. I don't know what they do about pass rushing. Oh, he wants to know what kind of prospects are there coming up at defensive end, pass rush prospects. Good. But we got to wait until all the juniors, the underclassmen, declare, because most of these guys are underclassmen. I think of a guy like Greg Romeus, who is an underclassman, and he's going to decide whether to declare or not. He's one of the leading pass rushers in the country. On the top pass rushing team in the country. And then there's the kid Audric from Penn State. He is a senior. He's a big-time guy. Forget about Sue from Nebraska. I mean, it'll be long gone. I'm giving you names of guys who might be available. It's a pretty good-looking crop. As long as Gene Smith is running the show, you have no worries.
All right, Victor.
Bye-bye.
We'll do it again Wednesday, right?
Absolutely.
With Brian and Jeff?
Yep.
All right, Wednesday night for Jaguars this week.
Bye, everybody.
Keep it right here. Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.